Welcome back to the Lash Base podcast. Today's episode, we have Lana from Lux Uncut. She is an experienced US lash artist with a very, very unique view in this lash industry because she has spent time in the UK and the US doing lashes. I wanted to find out what the main differences were and if there's anything the UK can do to increase their prices and match those of the US. Let's go. Okay, Lana, so you have been in the lash industry for longer than most. I think probably around about 8 years now. I think we've been in and amongst the lash industry for a similar amount of time. You've been, you've seen trends come and go, brands rise and fall, products come and go. You've basically seen everything that there is to see in the lash industry so far. And one of the most, and the main reason why I wanted to get you on the podcast today is because you have a very, very unique view of the global lash industry that hardly anyone gets to experience. That is that you were in the UK and the US and you got to experience both sides of the industry. So I thought it was going to be a really good idea to get you on so that we could talk about the differences, because I experience it day in, day out, where I'm coming between Lash Base UK and US. And you've got the, you had the opportunity to see what it was all about being in the UK, experiencing our low prices, and obviously being back into the US now. So thank you very much for coming on. And I guess my first question for anybody that doesn't know, because I know you really, really well, have done for years, but for anyone that doesn't know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey so far?
Of course, of course. So you nailed it on the head. I have been in the industry for 8 years now. I started at 16 with the purpose of just simplifying women's life and boosting their confidence. That was my purpose. And within, I would say, about 2 years, that purpose led me into educating, and I would say still helping people feel confident, but in a different way than just appearance, with their skill set and their business and being able to provide for themselves. And then just a couple short years after that, that developed into me having a team and having employees, and eventually that all came to an end, and it led me to moving to the UK. So that's it, kind of really shortened, but that's about me. My purpose of moving to the UK was honestly just for a new beginning. And I felt like I had did everything I could here in America. You know, I made it big as a lash artist, as an educator, as someone in the local community, and I wanted to see if I could do it somewhere else. And I guess that's what we're going to get into talking about today.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you've, what stands out a lot, but there's a lot of things that stand out from what you've done in your career, but I just remember you were one of the first that I took note of that you're really, really, in on branding. Everything you did was, and still do obviously to this day, has a purpose and a meaning. It's professional, it's high end. You know what you're doing, and I think that's probably one of the reasons that you've managed to be in the industry for this length of time, because of the how seriously you take the business of your of lashing, rather than you just want to do lashes, if that makes sense.
Yes, most definitely. It all comes together. You can't have a really good lash artist without a strong brand and business presence, and vice versa. You can be good at marketing and your business, but if you're not a good lash artist, it's not going to click. And go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say, I think that's a major one for people in the lash industry. It's okay to be great at lashes, which is, it's important to be great at lashes, but you also need the branding, marketing, and the business side as well.
Definitely. And I would say, like, you don't have to necessarily have it both personally, but if your strength is just your skill set, you have to delegate your weaknesses and hire that out, and vice versa, which is actually something I got into when I was in the UK. But we'll dive into that a little bit later. I helped women basically with marketing and branding when I was out there because lashes didn't end up working out how I hoped. But I will say for anyone listening, whatever your weaknesses are, it's okay. Have someone that is good at it come on board with you so you can have that strong presence within the industry.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so with the fact that you've had some time in the UK and the US, what would you say? You could talk about but like culturally and like the UK and the US as a whole, but equally about things you've noticed in the lash industry. But what are some of the main differences that you've noticed?
Right off the bat, biggest one, work-life balance. I was shocked at how much people in the UK prioritize their well-being and personal life. I think in America, at least in Scottsdale, where I'm from in Arizona, there is a lot of hustle culture, and it was something that I was just used to. So people being strict on like being closed on Sunday, so there's Sunday roasts and family time, or promptly closing at 6 p.m. and not being open 24 hours. That immediately had me in like major culture shock. Another one was how people interact with each other. I thought I was a very genuine and real person, but those words mean something else out there. So, for example, I remember one time meeting like a couple of people out there, and I was like, oh my gosh, hi, how are you? So good to see you. And I kind of got some stares, and it took me a little bit of time to like understand why that wasn't like culturally acceptable there. And after I would say like maybe 2, 3 months, I realized it's because things are very like cut and dry. People there, I would say, are more genuine than people here in the sense of there's no like BS. If someone likes you, they like you. And if someone doesn't like you, they don't like you, but it will be known. So there's no need for like the floofy, oh my God, how are you? It's relaxed and yeah, way more genuine and real than I think
And
it is out here, but that's my perspective.
how does that translate into like the work that you do and dealing with clients, both either in the US or the UK? Did you, when you were working the work that you were doing in the UK, did you have to change how you acted?
When it comes to work-life balance, yes. So I would say you guys have a very good structure with when people work and when people don't work. And I was not used to that. For me, I'm used to working, if I have to, 7 days a week, well into the night. And that's not really accepted there. So when it comes to like clientele, they want you to be sticking to that kind of universal, this time is for work and this time is for personal time, if that makes sense. So I never really saw people work on Sundays. Yes, some businesses are, but most people in the beauty industry don't work on Sundays because you guys like value that day, which I appreciate. But that was new to me because in the United States, Sundays are prime time to work, and clients do expect you to have that day available for them.
Yeah, I think in the UK we have the beauty industry. It's Sunday and Monday as the days off for the beauty industry, which is a little bit strange, but like because I think I've got more of that American train of thought where if people are doing a normal Monday to Friday 9 to 5, their time to do their treatments or get their treatments is potentially the weekend. But yeah, everybody shuts down on a Sunday. Including the beauty industry. However, there is and it's interesting that you spotted it in like the macro, because there are a lot of people that come into the lash industry and don't have the boundaries that you can have in the UK. People do accept the fact that you can just say, look, these are my hours. I'm not going to work on the Sunday because that's a more normal thing. So in the US, what are your hours? What are your working days?
Honestly, they're random. I work around my clients and I'm okay with that. That's what I'm used to. So it could be I'm working Saturdays and Sundays all day. It could be on a Tuesday I'm working until 9 p.m. I kind go with the flow and work around my client's schedule. And yes, I still have boundaries, but I'm more flexible to their schedule, which is, like you just said, it's not something that I would say is acceptable there. If you're high maintenance and you're like, your nose is in the air out there, it's not tolerated. Out here, you're expected to absolutely respect those clients and do your best to accommodate them.
Yeah.
But of course, if I could choose one or the other, I like how the UK does things.
Yeah, I agree. And there was something that I saw when you were talking on your Instagram stories, and you were saying about the differences that you'd noted or noticed. Sorry. One of the things that stood out to me, because it's something that I've hugely noticed between the US and the UK, is something that I wanted you to elaborate on, is sustainability.
Yes, huge one. And I never once thought I was a wasteful person or I wasn't sustainable, but when I got there, it was like my whole world flipped upside down. You guys really are keeping, I guess, the future of the world in mind through everything that you do. There's way more like thrift stores. You guys save water and energy in a at a different level than you would ever see out here. I wouldn't say I would really notice it within lash extensions, but when it comes to just day-to-day life, you guys prioritize what certain things are doing and are intentional with making sure it's saving energy or the world.
Yeah, and I think with the only thing that I've noticed that in terms of the lash industry itself is when it comes to packaging for lash products in the UK, like we've made a massive effort to use as little like single-use
Plastics.
plastics as we possibly can. Like we removed all like the bubble wrap and anything at all that would it couldn't be recycled or reused or anything. And we managed to achieve that. And we've brought that over here to the US. But just through seeing, as you see online, I know you're doing your research, you see other brands on Instagram and they're sharing the customer orders and things like that. And the amount of plastic that's still around in packaging in the US, even going saying that, going to a supermarket, you still get your plastic bags. Whereas in the UK, you either got to pay for them.
Yeah, that was a funny adjustment for me. I got used to making my hands and arms do a lot of the work, so I didn't have to pay for another bag every time I went to the grocery store.
Okay, so the one of the big differences as well that I think everybody listening probably has noticed and looks at, especially if it's from the UK towards the US, is pricing for lashes. Now, did you do any lashing in the UK when you were there?
I did not, but I did try. We'll
You
say
try.
that. I opened up a business Instagram called Henley Lashes because that's where I was located. And, really pushed the marketing, tried to collaborate with local nail technicians, hairstylists, Pilates instructors, you name it. Did everything I could that would work out here, and it wouldn't stick. And the reason it wouldn't stick was because I wouldn't budge on my prices. Prices out there, I would say, in my opinion, are 70 to 80% less than it is out here. And for me, that's a major pay cut, especially given the fact that I've worked, like we said earlier, 8 years to be in the position to charge what I charge. But out there, I mean, what I wanted to charge was anywhere between 80 to 100 pounds an hour, which is what, about 90 to 120 bucks an hour for dollars. And that was just unheard of. I talked to people in the beauty industry and I talked to clients that have had lashes, and the feedback I always got was, well, I never charge more than 60 pounds for a full set, which I think is $70, maybe $75. or more than $30 to $40 or 30 to 40 pounds for a fill, which is I think 40 to 55. And out here, that's like outrageous. That is like you're a student or you're a beginner. You're not top tier of your industry charging those prices, but it's what people are used to out there. So me coming out there with what I wanted to charge was just, it was like blasphemy for everyone. They're like, who does she think she is charging that? And granted, you can get away with those prices, I realize, in like the heart of London, but I wasn't living in the heart of London, so I didn't have access to try that price point out there.
That's the thing, because when you try and work out, and something that I've noticed is that there isn't actually a massive difference in the cost of lash products between the UK and the US. So, like, all we've done when we've come out here to the US is just do a conversion from pounds to dollars, and that's the price we're charging. So we haven't changed our pricing. And when you compare brands in the US or the UK, apart from maybe lash glue, some people do charge a lot of money for lash glue, but I don't think that's a cost to them. I think that's just it's a strange one. However, the however, I think it's crazy when you work out if you want to be a lash artist and a good lash artist, the amount of effort and experience and learning and it just takes a lot to be good at your job. And when you work out in the UK, how much it costs in terms of your products, your rent, all your bills, everything, your marketing, everything that you're doing, how much it costs. And then you work out if you're charging £50 for a full set of lashes, the hourly rate works out that you may as well be working at a supermarket.
Exactly. That was my exact thought process. When I was out there, I'm like, to get paid that much, I'd rather work at McDonald's.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can do that. That's the worrying thing about the UK lash industry, when you can see in the US people charging $250, $300 for a set, and that's like fairly normal in parts. And when the
Very.
products don't cost any more, then that's where you can start growing your business. Because that's one of the ones that I don't have an answer to. How on earth does the UK collectively charge more for lash extensions, even if it's just to get anywhere like just half as much as what it is in America?
Yeah, honestly, even half as much, I think I would have maybe settled for because the cost of living is more expensive in some ways, but in other ways, it's not. Personally, my perspective coming from a place that can charge more, my two cents, and who knows if this would actually work for you guys, I think really comes down to governmental regulation. I think if it were to be recognized where you have to go through an extensive schooling process, licensing process, where you have to invest, excuse me, big bucks to get that aesthetician license or cosmetology license, maybe that would be reflective in the pricing because I do think in hair you can make more in the UK. Like it isn't as limiting as being a lash artist. But I do, it was disappointing to see because the skill set, it's not like it's less than, but people are just not charging what they should. And honestly, they can't, like I said, because it's like you guys have created a standard pricing and it's going to take some time for that to be different. I mean, here in Arizona, when I first started 8 years ago, I was charging $50 a full set and $25 a fill. 8 years later, it's very common to charge 300 a full set and 150 a fill, but it's taken time. So I think the UK can get there, but how it that is the question.
One of the things that I'm not sure if you can advise on, if I put you on the spot with this one, a lot of lash artists in the UK will qualify, bearing in mind, like you've just said, it or kind of lean towards it. You can get qualified for lash extensions with a £20 online course. So there's no major investment to get going, and then nobody gets taught how to price. So what they do is they look at their local area and say, well, what them down the road, they're charging 60, so I'm new, so I'll charge 50. And then they go forward and they never ever, because they're scared, they never raise their prices at all. So how do you go about raising your prices?
In my opinion, I think it's simple. Demand equals a higher price point. I did get my lashes done out there, and a lot of the artists that I saw locally were booked and busy, yet they never think to raise their prices. And the thing is, if there is demand for anyone, people are willing to pay a higher price point. And once people start doing that and are less rigid or scared with the outcome, eventually people will follow. Because to be honest, sure, there will always be people that are trying to undercut because they want to make more money or see more clients, but that really isn't a sustainable mindset. Eventually, people are going to see the people that are in demand, that are charging more, and think, I want that. I want to make the money that she's making. How can I get to that point? And people eventually follow suit. No one wants to be the cheapest in the area. People do want to eventually, make the most that they can within their career field, especially within the service industry.
Yeah, I agree. I think a rule of thumb that I have whenever anybody asks anyway is that if your calendar is around 80% booked, then your prices are too cheap.
Amen.
And
Absolutely.
that's the point in which, because there's no point in being fully booked, because that means you could raise your prices. If you raise your prices, yeah, you might lose one or two, but you'd be funnily enough, you'd be surprised people wouldn't lose anyone. But if they do lose someone, then you're getting paid more for less work anyway, and then you'll find new clients that will fill those spaces until you're full, and then you can increase your prices again until you can. But yeah, that's the one of the big ones for me for the between the UK and the US is just the cost of a set of lashes. Versus everything else. I don't know how people is it com compared to do be really successful. People just have to raise their prices.
Yep, they do. And I actually think that the point of view of not the point of view, but the overall maybe opinion of people that do lashes in the UK versus the US is different. Lash artists that I spoke to in the UK, it isn't necessarily like a lifelong career for them. For some people, it's a side hustle. For some people, it's a temporary thing until, they get X job. Whereas in the United States, it's absolutely something you can commit like the rest of your life to and make a good living. But again, that will only change if people there are willing to change it themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that one. So we'll move to something more positive. What's the best thing about the UK lash industry?
The best thing is your focus on timeless beauty. I was initially put off, I'm coming from Scottsdale where people want mega volume, caterpillar lashes. That is the look. That's what everyone wants. Coming to the UK, I was like, what's the point? What's the point of like doing natural or, not giving the absolute most to your clients' lash lines? But after being there for a while, it's honestly, in my opinion, a very like sustainable business model. You want to be providing a service and a look for your clients that is timeless and isn't trendy and isn't going anywhere and is obviously extremely healthy for the client's natural lashes. So that was my favorite thing when it came to kind of studying how the UK lash industry is different from the United States.
Yeah, I'd agree with that one. I think a recent like poll I did in our Team Lash Base Facebook group, I think it was over 70% of the people that voted said that their most popular treatments are either classic or hybrid or a light volume. Like none of it was, and I think it worked out only around about 5% said that they were doing mega volume,
Wow, I love that. Yeah, I believe that. Yes, it is
which is
very.
crazy. Okay, so what about on the other side of that, what could the UK do to improve as a lash industry compared to the US? We've probably already touched on this.
That's a good question. Beyond pricing, I would go back and say education and regulation. I think it could be elevated and focused on a bit more than what it is. I mean, thankfully, the UK has lash base, but in America, there's so many options and different types of skill sets that are shared, and it lifts the community up in a lot of ways. And I think the UK really needs that, or just needs to focus on that.
Yeah, that is a great spot. There's definitely a huge, and for anybody listening as well in the UK, that is that this there is a huge gap in the market for somebody to improve on the industry's training as a whole, even if it's because in the US there are lots of standout personal brands, standout people that offer courses that aren't, it's not like come and learn a very like learn volume. It's you go and you find how to, like you said, elevate your skills, your business, everything. And we just don't, off the top of my head, apologies to anyone listening going, hang on, I've got a course like that. But for me, I'm not aware of anyone that has what the US has in terms of that training. Definitely. And yeah, regulation. I think we're going to be beating that drum forever and ever and ever because there's an awful lot going on in government and in the world for them to decide to pick on the lash industry to try and straighten us out. So that one, we'll fight the good fight and keep going with it. However, I don't see regulation coming in the near future in the lash industry in the UK.
Really? You do
Yeah.
you guys have so we have obviously like the national level and then the state level. I assume you guys have something similar. Like, is there a way to penetrate like just the town's government regulation and then hopefully that spreads? Is that a thing out there?
We have like accreditation bodies that govern the UK beauty industry. Recently, just after COVID, I can't remember what this stands for, but BABTAC are somebody that became employed by the government to advise them on various beauty related things, which was we all hold, held high hopes. We had a meeting and conversation with the chairperson of BABTAC to discuss what could happen and what could go forward, but as with everything, it will just be a slow process. But that's why I say, from my experience, I don't see this happening quickly. However, it's something people are fighting for. But yeah, it's not. We don't have like in the US. I know it's different state to state, but we don't have because there are some states where you've got to train for hours and hours and hours, don't you, to be able to do it.
I think in Arizona, California, you need like anywhere between 800 to 1,000 hours. But we also have some states like Texas where you don't need that much time. I think you have to go to school for like 2 to 3 weeks and you're good to go. So it does vary.
Yeah. Okay. Well, moving on to the US then, what would you say is the best thing about the US lash industry?
The endless possibilities and opportunities out here. I didn't understand it because I had never been overseas. Like when I moved, that was my first time ever, like to a different country overseas. And so when it comes to like understanding opportunities that are in America, the whole quote unquote American dream, as an American, I thought, okay, yeah. We say we're good, but are we really? And going there and then coming back here, not saying that we're better, but it's easier in a sense to make more, to have more, and to have so many different avenues to take to get to wherever you want to get to. I wouldn't say it's impossible to do in the UK, but it may be a little bit more challenging, and you may face more roadblocks than you will out here.
Yeah, I like that one. Okay, and then what would you say the US needs to improve compared to the UK?
The United States can focus or should focus a lot more on work-life balance. It is possible to be successful and still have balance and enjoyment in your personal life and professional life. I think you guys have really nailed that one, but I think it's something we need to work on a lot. For some reason, we think suffering equals success. But I strongly disagree with that. You can get to the top and do so in a balanced way.
And is that what you're working on now, taking back from the UK, now opening up again in the US?
Yes, 1 million percent. 1 million percent. I just never thought it was possible. I had my own limiting belief of, Lana, you need to work as hard as possible all the time. Otherwise, you're not going to get where you want to get to. And honestly, I don't think I'm the only one. I think it's a message that's shared across the industry from a lot of influencers. But now that I've seen it firsthand that it is possible, I can let go of that belief and really just kind of lean into what I'm doing and enjoy the process and make sure I'm okay throughout that process as well, not like hurting myself or causing myself to suffer unnecessarily.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Oh, and there was one more thing that we haven't touched on yet, but I wanted to mention just because not to kick the UK's lash industry when it's down or anything like that. But we already know that the prices for lashes are massively different between the UK and the US. Something that I'm not sure if this happens for you or not, but I wanted to touch on the tip culture. So in the UK, if you ask most UK lash artists, they probably don't get tips. So not only do they only get their £50 or £40 or whatever it is, there's no tip attached at the end of it, whereas it's completely different again in the US, isn't it?
It is very different, and I'm not gonna lie, I did enjoy the fact that you guys don't have tips there. It made things more affordable. Because it's an expectation here. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna pay $100 for this service, but it's gonna end up being a lot more. Sorry, what was your question regarding the tip?
Oh, it was just, have you experienced the difference with getting tips? And do you get tips as a US lash artist versus the fact that in the UK you don't actually get paid anywhere near as much and you don't get tips?
Yeah, I do just feel bad that you guys don't get tips and you're not getting paid enough. But of course, tips here are a standard. In fact, a 20% tip is standard. Very rarely have I ever had a client tip me 15 or 10%. It's typically 20% or more every single time without fail.
It's just just unbelievable to think that that could ever happen. That would be a absolute life changer to UK lash artists if people tipped. But I guess I'm gonna do some research and try and encourage the psychology of how to get tips from people. But that's for another time. Okay, so last question for you. Just personally, professionally, what are your plans for the future for Lana and Lux Uncut?
Great question. For Lana, work-life balance, 100%, like we talked about. Getting reacclimated out here in the States. Before I moved, I mean, I went all in, sold my car, sold all of my lash supplies, sold all of my furniture. I literally only went to the UK with clothes. So I'm in a bit of a rebuilding phase, but I'm trying to have a really good attitude about it and have the perspective of, okay, I'm not starting from scratch. I'm starting from experience. I know how to build from the ground up. I've done it before. I can do it again. So personally, I guess, and professionally, that's where I'm at. Professionally, though, I'm still going to be educating and servicing clients, and a new avenue that I took recently, and that's thanks to moving to the UK, is actually graphic design. Once I hit that roadblock of, oh, okay, I can't do lashes and make the money that I want to make that I know I deserve, what can I do? And I thought, okay, what are my strong suits outside of just teaching or performing a service? And I don't know why I never thought about this until now, 8 years later, but that's graphic design and marketing. I understand not only what aesthetically looks good from like an artist perspective or a graphic design perspective, but I also understand what it takes on like a social media level to connect with the audience and to grow your presence and find your niche market and leverage that into building an income. So I've been doing that for some artists within the lash industry and just the beauty industry as a whole. And that seems to be one, extremely fulfilling for me, and two, very flexible. Like I can do that anywhere at any time, And, you know, obviously I had clients, graphic design clients that I was working on that are in the United States that I was doing work for in the United Kingdom. So that's what's new for me. And that is what I'm going to be focusing on. I'm really excited for this new beginning, even though it's a bit scary and rocky. I'm excited to, you know, get back into the industry socially and share with artists what it takes to build from the ground up, but do it live. You know, I think a lot of lash artists in the industry, everyone to an extent shares their story, you know, but I don't think a lot of people are open to being vulnerable and sharing their story in the midst of struggle. We see the after, and then they talk about what happened before. But I want to kind of take everyone on this journey with me of, okay, how do you get all of your supplies for, like, I guess under $1,000, like your bed, your lamps, your supplies, and then how do you build a clientele from scratch within just a couple of months so you can afford to, you know, pay your bills if you take the leap into the industry? So that's where I'm at. Those are my plans, and I hope it all goes well.
And then, because that all sounds very exciting. First, two questions. Are you helping people graphic design and everything that you've got going on now? As in, if anyone listened to this was like, oh, I need some help with that.
Yes, definitely. So it's either just graphic design, and content creation, or also social media management. For some people, I do both, where they're like completely hands off the socials. I handle everything. So it just depends on what people are looking for, but absolutely, I'm still offering that. And if anyone needs help, they can absolutely talk to me.
Perfect. And where can they find you?
At Lux Uncut, LuxUncut, and all of my contact information is in the bio if you want to email or text or call me.
And I'll make sure it's in all of the captions and the podcast description as well. Anyway, so that is all very, very exciting and very brave to be showing. Like you said, people don't, they often tell their story. And I think I can be guilty of this as well. And although I like to try and show absolutely everything that's happening at all times, every now and again, I definitely slip into the fact where it's you'll talk about it after the fact because you know you've recovered and you can explain what happened. So yeah, I think that's that could be very interesting to keep tabs on. I'll be following along and I'm sure other people will be as well.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think that just about ends the episode perfectly. I do wish you all the best. I'm so glad you've come onto the podcast and you managed to experience 7 months in the UK and you're back opened up in the US, and to see you active on social media again is great. Are
Yemi,
you going to be at LashCon?
I'm not. I think I got. Did you ask me that in a previous
I
message?
might have done, yeah.
When is
November 5th, I believe, that weekend.
it? I don't think I will be, but I think back a couple months ago, I spoke to Paul and he said all the tickets were sold. Is that true?
Yeah, they sold out. And then I think maybe there's been some last minute cancellations. So again, just a plug for Lash Conference in the US. November 5th, that weekend, is the biggest Lash Conference in the world, actually. So I was gonna say in the US, in the world, there's gonna be between 700 and 1,000 lash artists there, 40 or
Wow.
50 lash brands, all with booths to sell stuff and test stuff. Amazing speakers. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going this time. It's the first time that I'm going, and I, apart from Lash Base sponsoring like the Instagram room, I think, I'm going as just an attendee so I can have a stress-free, just enjoy it, enjoy the parties that are there as well in the evenings. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be good.
That's exciting. It's amazing to see how much they've grown since the first LashCon. I think you were there at the first LashCon. It's grown into something very incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, right, we're going to leave it there. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode. We've got more episodes coming starting next week. My name's Jamie, Lashbase Jamie on Instagram, and Lana is at Lux Uncut on Instagram as well. And we'll see you all next week.